Our station's been on the air for about, well, it's 11 years, 11 years and 4 months today. And for about the last 6 years, I have been trying to get Dan McLaughlin to be a big part of our programming. And his role with the station over the course of the last year has been ramped up, and it'll be ramped up even more starting on Monday when Dan will host the 10 to 11 o'clock hour in the morning here on 101 ESPN. And Danny Mac with us now in the Fast Lane with BT and Ronj. I'm Randy. And Dan McLaughlin, it's great to have you with us, as you always are on Friday afternoon. And it's great to have you as a regular member of the team, and we get a chance to hear from you every day. I'm excited about it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm excited too. I'm so thankful that John Kiawski and Tommy Mattern have, you know, felt good enough to have me come in and do an hour a show, which I love. I love being behind the mic. I miss not doing baseball. I really love interviewing people, which will be part of what I'm going to do. That'll be a lot of it. But I want to say this, Randy, and I know you feel the same way. I love Bernie. Bernie was so good to me when I was just coming up. Oh, man. I mean, he's the guy I read, okay? And he's the guy that has been the voice of this town for a long time. So I want to make sure that Bernie understands that how much I appreciate him. I know you guys feel the same way. We are in awful times right now in all walks of life, in all different professions. I'm excited. I'm very, very excited to do what I'm doing. I'm very appreciative to the station. But I want to make sure that people know how important Bernie has been in my life. And that goes on a professional and a personal level, too. I got to be very close with Bernie, you know, my heart goes out to him. The guy's one of the most talented writers in our country. I think he's the best I've ever read, and I just feel for him right now. I feel for so many people that are, you know, suffering for what's going on right now. So my thoughts are probably scrambling a little bit, but that's just what I feel right now.
Very well said.
No, that's definitely something that we all hear echo for sure. Hey, Dan, that what you bring up right there, we are so fortunate to also have like that lineage of writers, of broadcasters, of just people that generation after generation read and look up to. And we've hit on this in the past before, but St. Louis has such a rich sports history and people that just resonate with you. We're lucky like that, man. I don't think other cities have that.
I agree. I totally agree. I mean, you know, and my thoughts are scrambling right now, so sorry, guys. You know, I think back to my time doing games and my time getting into this business, and I've tried to tell Randy, not to embarrass you, Randy, but how appreciative I have been to Randy helping me when I first got going, and Mike Kelly, Jack Buck, was incredible to me, like ridiculous to me. And now I'm getting asked to, like, you know, go on Zoom calls, which I get asked to go speak to classes all the time, or, you know, talk to a kid, and I'm more than happy to do it. And the reason I'm happy to do it is because people did that for me, and not everybody did. And I remember back in the day, Randy, I would call him, and I don't know if you remember this, Randy, but I certainly do. They would put me on morning drive and at KMOX, and Randy would be doing the big bumper, Jim White. He'd be doing sports until, you know, 1 in the morning and leaving back in the day, which was tape or cuts, carts, and labeling things. And so he would be working very late at night. And I remember, because I didn't have kids, and I was so just blinded by my career, calling Randy at 7 in the morning and saying, did you listen to my sportscast? Do you remember that, Randy?
Yep, I do.
And I don't forget that. I don't think I've ever brought this up to you. And I am like beyond appreciative that you actually took the time not only to talk to me, but then listen to me with your kids going nuts in the background and help me out. And so to your point, Brad, you're right. I mean, this is a, I've talked to so many people in our business that are suffering through no games, no money, no paycheck, an uncertain future like all of us have. And, you know, I guess you just reflect on, like, people that really helped you get to this point and get you to your point in your career. And Randy was just unbelievable to me. Jack Buck was unbelievable to me. Mike Kelly was great to me. There's an old producer that may be listening now, but John Cooper, he was very good to me. Jim Holder. I mean, all these people that I think about that actually took time and invested in me. And when you have sports taken away and you have what you have built your entire life around, your professional life around, taken away, you appreciate those people that actually spent time and tried to help you. So as I kind of reflect on a day today, am I excited to have a show? Absolutely. You know, right now I'm waiting, just like all of us, waiting for sports. And but man, you know, Bernie is going back to Bernie. I just very, very appreciative of his friendship. More so personally, because we've talked a lot off the air about different things that we both have gone through. And I'm sorry, guys. I'm kind of scrambling a little bit, but you know, I'm just. It's a very tough day, I think, for many people involved, but very appreciative too on you know, in the same regard.
Dan, when I was interning for you in 98 that summer, and there were a couple of things that happened, and I was just getting to know you. You were young in the business still, and I'm just getting to know you, and Ron Jacober was the one who suggested I give you a call. I think he was just pawning me off on you.
Probably.
Yeah, so a couple of the biggest thrills I had the entire time, one, when Jack came in to the studio once. I don't know why he was in the office. I think I was there on a Monday. Usually I was a Saturday, Sunday person, but I came in on a Monday once, and I think I was waiting for Randy, maybe. And Jack came in, and he sat down, and he's talking to me, and then Randy comes in, and the two of them talking about sports, and I knew who both of them were, obviously, and I thought, this is the greatest thing. And the other thing was, you used to have Bernie on all the time in studio with you, and you would have me go down and get him. Like, I would have to go down to the garage and let him in and him up, because it was all, you know, it was all the security. And Bernie, for me, because, you know, for a long time, the columnist in your town, like, that's the dude that everybody pays attention to, the columnist at the paper. And Bernie was that guy. That was the one that I had to make sure I was going to read Bernie every day he wrote. And every single column, I made sure I read it, because he's just somebody you want to listen to. You know, he's, even if you, and I said this earlier, even if you weren't necessarily on board with everything or you didn't like what he had to say, you were going to pay attention.
Right?
You're going to pay attention to it.
Well, that's, you know, to me, he has been the most influential person in this town for many years. And his writing is spectacular. I mean, I go back to Tony La Russa when Daryl Kyle passed away, and Bernie wrote a piece about his father. I don't want to be wrong about this, but long story short, he wrote a piece about coming back and what Daryl's father would want his father, and kind of just a summation of, you know, how just an incredible person Daryl was. And so Tony actually printed that and put that at the stalls, you know, the lockers of all the players. And it was that impactful. So he's had and will have a great voice in this town. And, you know, it's just brutal what's going on in our business, what's going on in our world. I don't mean to be Debbie Downer because I try to be very positive, but this is tough. This one hits. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as we move forward, I do think there's light at the end of the tunnel. I do think we're going to have games, obviously, at some point, whether it's this summer or next summer or whatever. But, you know, I just try to stay positive, and I think that's what we all can just hold on to right now, especially in our business.
No doubt about it. Dan McLaughlin with us on 101 ESPN. And one other note about Bernie, and I think all of us in the in our business, we can learn from Bernie. We're audio columnists. And what Bernie does is he provides a great foundation for everyone. There's a reason that he has the opinions that he has. He doesn't fly off the handle and just throw it out there because that's what he thinks. No, he researches. And when Dan McLaughlin has an opinion or makes a point on a Cardinal broadcast, it's because he's talked to people in the clubhouse or in the manager's office. All of us here try to build an opinion based on a modicum of intelligence that is born of doing research. And Bernie is the best at that. And that's why, as you said, Dan, he was voted the most influential sports person in this town not too long ago. So we are going to miss him here at 101 ESPN. And we are appreciative of all that he has taught us. I do want to ask you the latest about baseball, because it seems like, and we had Jeff Passan on yesterday, he said this is not a linear path towards having baseball, but it does seem like we are on a path to baseball, and we haven't spoken since the Bob Nightingale story came out over the course of the week. But what did you think of that idea and having the three 10-team divisions?
Well, I like it, Randy. I think if you were trying to quarantine players for an extended period of time, it just seemed like more and more guys were like, nah, I don't want to do it. If you can get back into the home cities, which is what this would basically do, limit travel, be able to get out and get to your home city so you're staying in your own house, apartment, whatever the case may be, while being tested, it seems like that would be more reasonable for players to agree to. So I like it. I've been saying since day one, I mean, this is a situation where it's a blank canvas. You throw it out, everything's out the window, and you try to make sure that you have baseball on the field. And, the bottom line is, if we get sports back, people are going to watch. People want to have a distraction. They want a diversion of what's going on in everyday life. So to me, no matter how it's presented in three different divisions or geographically aligned, whatever the case may be, go ahead and do it. It's an outlier, hopefully, and we're back to being normal, quote-unquote normal, next year. But I like this idea. I like it more than the other ones.
And by the way, Bob Nightingale reporting today that spring training would be held in home ballparks. So, for example, the Cardinals would have spring training at Busch, the Cubs at Wrigley, which makes sense.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, asking guys to quarantine for 4 or 5 months, while on paper, I get it. But doing it, I just don't know. I don't know if that's the right way we do it. And every single day, we're going to hear something different. I mean, you guys were asking me about stuff last week, and we didn't have this report. And I'm sure as we visit next Friday, things will change. I try to, again, stay positive, because I do think we're going to have baseball. I try to read what's going on and talk to people, and everything seems to point to, at some point, we have baseball. Now, what that looks like, I don't know. It certainly looks like we won't have fans, but we'd still have some type of sports to deliver to the general public. And I think that's great. I think that if we can try to do anything we can to get a diversion out for people, or sports out for people, or something that people, the mass public, can enjoy, however it's presented, let's do it. And if that means that we, spring training in our home ballparks, spring training 2.0, and then have a geographical alignment of how we play, great. I'm all for it. And, Dan Caesar of the Post was asking me about this today, and I think an article that's in the Post-Dispatch, he said, how do you feel about this? And I said, I'm all for it. Let's let's look at it as a positive. Let's do something. Hey, it's not normal. Nothing's going to be normal. So what? Let's do it. Let's have it out there. And yes, there may not be the crowd of a home run or a great play, but that's okay. That's the normal that we have right now. And I'd be shocked if you walked into somebody and said, hey, what do you think about a baseball game or a sporting event with no crowd? You're going to not watch? They're going to say, yeah, I'm going to watch. Of course they are. So I'm all for it. I think it's great that if we can get sports on, no matter what it looks like, and going to our home ballparks, geographical alignment, Arizona, Texas, Florida, whatever it is, let's do it, because we will get through this at some point, but let's give the general public something to look forward to, and I think that is sports.
I am with you, Dan. I am totally behind that new normal also, of potentially the idea of playing with no fans. That's fine. One new normal, though, that I want to get your take on that I can't get behind, Dan, is the idea of Yadier Molina playing in a different uniform. And you heard the reports yesterday. He still wants to play. He wants a two-year deal. He definitely wants it to be with the Cardinals. But he's willing to go elsewhere if, in fact, they can't get something done. What were your thoughts about that, Dan?
Well, and Randy would know this better than I, but I think the only retired guys or great Cardinals that we've had that have had their number retired in baseball's Hall of Fame that only spent their career with the Cardinals, I think it's Stan and Bob. Is that right, Randy?
Correct. Yes, sir.
Yeah, and so it kind of reminded me of the Pujols situation, where if you stay in one situation, you stay with one team, you are definitely the outlier. I mean, there are just few and far between. You know, we're watching, you know, Michael Jordan's documentary, and here he is playing for the Wizards at some point. They're probably going to show it, I would assume, or at least refer to it. And he's, by all accounts, the greatest basketball player that ever played. In our current generation, it's LeBron, and he's played all over the place. To say that you played in one situation or one team, one market, one team that has given you love and you've given them back the love, that means a lot. And I don't think that's lost on Yachty. Now, I there's a lot of different things to look at with this. Number one, I don't think the Cardinals want to see him go anywhere. I also think that he does not want to go anywhere. But what are we going to look like when we come out of this, you know, on the other end of the tunnel here, and the finances of baseball? I don't know. And is he still a good performer? Absolutely. I think he's an outstanding player still. But it's a business, and it's about respect. And I think the Cardinals, though, realize that guys like Wainwright and Yachty are few and far between. So you try to make the best deal you can, being responsible and understanding his place in history. And I think it'll work itself out. I really do. I don't see him going anywhere, Brad. I don't know if you agree with that, but there's a lot of factors that go into it. But bottom line is, I think everybody understands and would agree that it's very, very important to have him finish in a Cardinal uniform.
Danny, very well said. Always great to have you with us. Thanks so much. Have a good weekend, and we'll see you on Monday.
All right, guys. Thanks so much.
Take care.
Appreciate it.
That is Danny Mac with us in the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. Coming up, player pushback is forcing the hand of professional sports leagues as they try to return from the pandemic. That's next on 101 ESPN.